see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with David James. Hello again. We meet again, yet again. And we shall delve down this hole, the hole of Disney. Now, let me inform you of something. As I've just written an article this morning, I've been waiting to do this article for a while, and I'm glad that it happened at this time because it shows I was really ready for it. It's part two to the Sicilian Connection. This series of articles, just like the article I just wrote before about why I investigated Eli James, is designed to teach you to be a researcher, to dig for the information, to, you know, learn how to research things for yourself. You know, there's a lot of shows and a lot of voices in the world, as the Apostle Paul said. Some of them, if you're listening to them, you're wasting your time. Did you realize that you could just open up a book and read, you know, 20, 30 pages and you'd learn more from that 30 pages than you'd learn from some of these people for listening to, you know, 6 months of their shows? I mean, really, I'm serious. You know, the time for letting everybody else do your work is over. But, you know, if it's not over for you, then let it be. What can I say? It may it be so. What can I do about that? But I believe many of you want to research, and I believe many of you want to know and get to the truth about things. I must tell you that when I had asked the Father about this Eitralion thing, I wanted to know how these people could kill without it affecting their conscience. Believe me, I'm telling you that the Father has answered the question. He has shown me the proof, and he's continually showing me the proof that what he showed me is true. And this second article will give you visual proof as well as study materials that you can go down these holes yourself and check out all these things. See, what it is I've been training by viewing pictures of Jews. And I'm so familiar with the pictures of Jews that when I saw the gang mobsters, I begin to see these Jewish traits in them. Which, of course, should not surprise you. When you see in my new article, Carlo Gambino, I mean, if you cannot see that that's a full-fledged Jew, I don't know, you know, I don't think you are Jew savvy, let's just put it that way, as far as in the physical realm of Jewry. Many people are Jew savvy with the modus operandi of the Jews, but physical, remember that the Sephardic Jew is much harder to decipher than the regular swarthy, you know, Ashkenazi Jew. The Sephardic Jew is a more white-like fellow, but is still not white. When you look at Al Capone, you know that's not a white man. You just, I mean, go look at a picture of Al Capone, Alphonse. That's not a white man, folks. But, you know, the world doesn't recognize it that way. They look at this and they say, well, you know, there's so many kinds of white men. That's a white man, too. And they think all these Jews are white men and everything else and all these race-mixed Italians and race-mixed everything. And they don't know that these are not white men that they've been seeing. That they've been seeing the Jew in Hollywood so much that they don't even know really what a white man looks like anymore. Almost, let's say. But they've made it seem that all these are white men, but they're not. It's a deception. And if you're not savvy to it, you just think all the evil in the world is done by white men. Because you don't realize these aren't white men. Charles Schumer's not white. Hillary Clinton's not white. Bill Clinton's not white. He looks white. Joe Biden's not white. But you see, when they're half race mixed with whites, the Jew knows he can take advantage of that and of you. And imposing and pretending that they're white people doing all these things. Let me tell you that it's a big trick. And it's a trick that's been going on since far before you were born. It's been going on for an awful long time. These articles and this second article should weaponize you and begin to train you in how the Jew hides within races, within race mixing. Remember that the Italians in the north of Italy do not believe that the Italians of these islands in the south of Italy are real Italians. They don't recognize them as real because they're not pure Italians. They don't believe they're pure Italians. But you do, and the rest of the world pretends they are. But they're not. See, they're the tipping point of when you begin to brown out the races, right? See, they're just a little bit darker than the white man. They're mixed with the white man in a lot of cases, and they're just a tint or a shade darker than the regular white man. And this is the gradualism that the Jew is always involved in and their father, the devil. There's always this, you know, stepping stone, this starting point of, you know, like the Jew Calvin, whose name was Cohen, he said, a little usury is okay. Is it really? And now look at usury now. Is it now a little usury? No, it started out as a little usury was okay. That was from no usury at all. And now look where we are now. This is how it always is. This is how it always will be. It's just the way it is, folks. And so these articles, the previous one, almost every article that I have, they're going to be progressively tools for you to begin to research and begin to educate yourself in the physical attributes of Jews, in the physical, in the modus operandi of Jews. We wish to know our enemy, and we need to know the enemy, and we need to be able to navigate the racial demographic in this world, which is ever becoming murky, deliberately. You see, when the waters are clear and pure, you can see what's at the bottom. But when the waters get clouded up and impure, they become murky. And that's what's going on in the world. All this race mixing is clouding up the waters. It's getting harder to tell who's who. The Father made it, in his wisdom, very easy to tell who's who. The corruption confuses. It murkies up the water. Muddies it up. Muddies up the water. You can't see clearly who's who anymore. Like the rock. You know this so-called star in Hollywood or whatever it is, the rock? You thought he was white, didn't you? Well, he's not white. You see, this is the problem. And so, we must learn how to identify and how to understand and clarify these murky waters. Therefore, we won't be out in the darkness or out on the lake without a paddle. So, that's just food for thought. I'm going to tell you this Sicilian connection or the investigation. It's a beginner's tool. In other words, I made that article and I did not tell you everything I know. I know a lot more than what's in the article. The investigation article. I left it up to you to do research. And once you just do even the smallest amount of research, you will begin to open the whole thing up. In the past, that fellow has left a trail of people that walked away from Christian identity because of what kind of a character he really is. Lots of good men and women walked away. This is not a shepherd who herds the sheep. This is a shepherd who scatters the sheep. And if you talk to people that have been around identity circles a lot longer than I have and everything, you will find out what has gone on in the past. I suggest that you speak to some people and ask your friends, do you know anything about what has gone on in identity back in 2008, let's say? That was one of the key years where he scattered a whole bunch of people out. And Visser was involved with him too then. Regardless, the fellow's trying to cover his tracks real bad. Next, I'm going to come out with the sound bites of him laughing at all these evil things. The fellow's just too stupid to close his mouth. He keeps thinking he's going to cover his tracks and pretend that none of it's real. But the Father is the one that's on his trail, and he doesn't understand that. and the other people are going along with it. They have read the article. They are going to continue to go along with these lies and these liars. Which tells me a story in itself. I mean, what do I need to tell you about that? What does that tell you? That tells you that they consciously, did you hear him say anything about the Hart brothers with the, no, you didn't. They're just going to keep going along, pretending like, oh, none of that's real. None of that was real. I didn't just see what I just saw in that article. Well, I know I didn't lie. I guarantee you. I promise you I did not lie. And the Father has shown who the liars really are. They're going to continue to go along with this despite seeing the information that they saw. And I think that that speaks volumes. Anyway, let's get on to something more important than that, because that's a sinking ship. Let's get on to the subject matter. Now, last week we stopped at about page 229. The Bank of America bankrolled the Disney animation Snow White. Walt managed. Now, I read this little part, and then we'll continue from there. I just have to start at the beginning of the paragraph. Walt managed to sell Joseph Rosenberg on the idea at the time when old-time Hollywood people were advising Rosenberg that Snow White would only be a failure. When Snow White was successful, Walt announced a monster party for all the Disney workers at Lake Norconian near Palm Springs, southeast of San Bernardino, California, where the cost of everything the Disney workers wanted to order, food or drink or whatever, would be taken care of by the Disneys. Under the full moon, the Disney male and female workers, finally free of the tight rules at the studios, had what amounted to be a Roman orgy and a large nude skinny dip at the lake. Almost all of the Disney workers participated in the orgy, and Disney had only two options. One, fire them all, or number two, ignore that the party took place. Ah, that's just like my article. Just ignore that the article took place. Just like those people, Walt chose the latter option. And after that, no one ever dared mention the party in his presence. In 1937, Walt and Roy took a trip to Europe where Walt dined with the British royal family and met privately with H.G. Wells, the Masonic prophet. The Masonic prophet. Planner of what Wells and other Masons called the Jew World Order. Of course, it's the New World Order, right? In Paris, the League of Nations, the forerunner to the UN, gave him an award. After the success of Snow White, Disney chose Pinocchio to follow it. Many have asked why Pinocchio was chosen by Walt. If you look at the script, the puppet maker's wife is taken out of the original script, and there is an emphasis on the little wooden puppet visualizing becoming a flesh and blood son to the man who had created him. Let me just stop with this thought right now. Is that not what the Jew wishes they could do? They're trying to become the flesh and blood son of the Father in heaven. But they're not the flesh and blood son. They're just a cheap imitation like this wooden puppet. And this Pinocchio is such a liar, like the Jew. His nose grows every time he lies. Can you see something in this script? I mean, can you see what I'm talking about? Now, I didn't know this. I just think it's funny that Pinocchio wants to become the flesh and blood son to the man who created him. Can you see the parallel? Here we have a boy with no soul, like the Jew, who is told if he works hard, he will be given one. Does this sound familiar to readers of Volume 2? The script was definitely changed to have a storyline far more useful to mind control programming. For most who think Walt simply created fairy tales on the screen, if one examines the changes that are made from the original storylines, they are changed to make them more useful for mind control. Both Snow White, do you like that? Snow White and Pinocchio have occult-type deaths and resurrections. See what I'm saying? You see what's going on here? After World War II, Joseph Rosenberg persuaded A.P. Giannini, his boss, to bankroll Disney again. Although Walt was financed by the Mishpucha, Jewish Mafia, hello, can you connect this with my article? Now I know why the article came out today and didn't come out a few months ago when I was intended to write it. I was just too busy. The timing for this, that article, part two, is right now. Walt was financed by the Mishpucha, Jewish Mafia. All the mafia is Jewish. The mafia itself, the religion of Judaism is the Mishpucha. It's all the mafia, the CIA, the FBI, the governments, the Freemasons. It's all part of the Mishpucha, the Jewish mafia. And Walt didn't like the idea of being financed by the Jews. Richard Rosenberg, a later president of Bank of America, is also Mishpucha. Richard Rosenberg, his mother was a Cohen. Cohen means priest, in case you don't know that. Cohen was Calvin's real name, as I said. A little usury is okay. This Rosenberg was also in charge of Northrop Corporation and Marin Ecumenical Housing Association. Other examples of Mishpucha executives are R. Goldstein, vice president of Procter & Gamble, which is a very occult company, as you well know, and Marvin Koslow, VP of Bristol-Myers Company. And then, you know, here's Fritz telling you about all these Jews, you know, that's running everything and doing everything, but it's not the Jews. you know what I mean? This is ridiculous nonsense. And this is what these people that come out to tell you it's not the Jews, it's the Illuminati, it's the New World Order, it's the Bilderberger Group. Yeah, well, it's all of them. But it's the Jews, folks. That's who it is. Plain and simple, it's the Jews. Because they're all of those things. So, in the 1930s, the elite promoted Disney's new cartoons. In 1935, Walt Disney received the French Legion of Honor for his Mickey Mouse cartoons. Also in 1935, the Queen of England, whose readers of my previous articles will realize is Illuminati, and of course, also has Jew blood and Negro blood now. You can see that they want to mix with Negroes. They've just mixed with Negroes, too. And they already had mixed with Negroes. Involved in the drug trade and is involved with the leadership of Freemasonry. This is speaking of the Queen of England. And the Duchess of York, also Illuminati, selected Mickey Mouse chinaware as gifts for 600 children. Why not do 666 children? Why stop it at 600? You know what I'm saying? I mean, please, Duchess, you've got the dough. See, Duchess of York, Jew York. Yeah. This was after Walt spent time with her in 1934. The League of Nations, the pre-World War II equivalent of the UN, took the time to vote its approval of Mickey Mouse. Finch Christopher, The Art of Walt Disney from Mickey Mouse to the Magic Kingdom, New York, Harry N. Abrams, Incorporated, 75, page 53. That's your reference for where it came from. There is no doubt that Walt Disney had talent. There is also no doubt from the record that powerful people wanted to promote him. No doubt his 320 Masonic membership and his, excuse me, that's 32 degree, that's a typo. He put it as a zero instead of the little degree thing. So Walt was a 32 degree Masonic membership, and his demolé activities helped boost his support and also helped Walt's bent toward the occult. Now listen, the Demolays is what Clinton was involved in when he was a child. Their Jacques Demolay was burned at the stake in, I believe it was 1313 or something like that, if I remember correctly. He was the, the ones that worshipped the Knights Templar, that worshipped the Baphomet, and they were involved in homosexual things and so on and so forth. That's who Demolay is. He's a hero of the Freemasons. And the Demolays is a male group for children, a male Masonic group. Let's discuss, or let's digress just to let people in on Freemasonry's involvement with acting in motion pictures. I would nashab if I were you. I certainly will. That means listen up in Hebrew. Nashab. The famous 233 Club. You see, I'm going to have to hit you with this. I'm not going to apologize. 3 times 3 is 9. 2 times 9 is 18. 1 and 8 is 9. Or 18, 3 times 6, 666. The famous 233 Club was a Masonic chapter for actors who were Freemasons. Examples of actors who were Freemasons include John Aeson, Gene Autry, Monty Blue, and Humphrey Bogart, Douglas MacLean, John Wayne. Then there is TV DJ Dick Clark. Examples of motion picture executives who were Freemasons. I know one right away. Trying to think of his name right now. It's probably right here, though. Hold on. Include Ellis G. Arnold, president of the Social of Indiana Motion Pictures Producers. Will H. Hayes, Czar of Motion Pictures, 1922 Pictures, 1922 to 45. And President Motion Picture Producers and Distributors of America Incorporated. Benjamin B. Kahani, Vice President and Director Association of Motion Picture Producers, Inc. Carl Lamiel, President, Universal Pictures Corporation till 1936. Frank E. Mullen, Mann Department of Info, RCA, VP NBC, Vice President, 39 to 46. I know this guy's name that I was thinking of. I just can't think of it right now. Cecil B. DeMille. Remember him? He was on radio and TV. Another Freemason and Jew. David Sarnoff, chairman of the board of Radio Corp of America and father of American television. Jack M. Warner. See, he's a Freemason, but he's also a Jew, you can see. Kahani, I'm sure, is a Jew, too. I'm sure all these are Jews, by the way. And the president and director of Universal Pictures till 52. The Freemasons have had much of Walt Disney's membership in their membership sales pitches. Because the two Disney brothers' chief contributions to the production of Disney films were the finances and occasionally the ideas used in a film, it is rather misrepresentative of things that Walt Disney got all the credit for the success and quality of the Disney cartoons. He was showered with 700 awards and honors from important people, including 30 Oscars and the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 64. Walt Disney's great animators never got the credit they deserved, but no one should forget that Walt was the driving force that inspired and guided his workers. In 1934, Walt Disney made a cartoon about a goddess of the mystery religions named Persephone. Now, Persephone is on the top of the White House. I believe it is the White House, yes. A goddess on the top of the White House. In the cartoon entitled The Goddess of Spring, the goddess Persephone is captured by Satan and his bride and sent to the underworld with the agreement that she could return to the earth in 6 months. Oh, just 4 6-months of each year. The Jewilluminati have rituals around Persephone. On December 21st, 1937, you know that that's the Yuletide, that's the beginning of winter, Disney premiered the first full-length color cartoon movie, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. This cartoon had taken 1.4 in Depression time money. I believe that's million, right? He didn't write that, but whatever. And 3 years to make. Over 750 artists worked on the film. Walt Disney had gotten the idea from a silent movie of Snow White, which he saw as a boy in 1917. The movie has an important occult theme to it and has been used for occult mind control programming. When the 1940s got started, Disney was in financial difficulties. At this point, Nelson Rockefeller, the Jew, crypto Jew, Murano Jew, hired his cartoon capabilities to make cartoons for South America, with the idea that the South Americans would remain loyal to the American capitalist hegemony, rather than to shift to the rising ideologies of fascism and Nazism. If they saw Walt Disney's cartoons, so they thought that that Walt's cartoons would keep them from joining the Nazis and the fascists, Italians. In Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, on 8/24/42, Disney did its world premiere of Saludo Amigos, a 42-minute feature about Latin America. Goofy becomes a gaucho. A parrot teaches Donald Duck to dance the samba, as well as Disney art showing various landscapes of Brazil in the film. However, the film The Three Caballeros, if it was meant to encourage South Americans' loyalty to American capitalism, it completely failed. The Three Caballeros showed a sexually lecherous Donald Duck who, in bad taste, tries to make it with Latin women. The mysticism was also seen as bogus. Although the Latin Americans hated the film, the establishment media's Look magazine praised it. Of course, they praise anything that's evil and denuder anything that's good. That's the Jewish way. Another reason that Rockefeller sent Walt to South America was to get him out of the way so that the government could settle the strike by Disney workers. Nelson Rockefeller was the government's coordinator of Inter-American Affairs, a good position considering how much of the South America the Rockefellers controlled. Rockefeller told Disney that Disney couldn't beat the strikers, but that while Walt was in South America, FDR would see to it that the strike got settled. FDR the Jew. Now, Rockefeller was... They always try to tell you that George Bush was the first one to use the term the New World Order. Remember how he says, you know, they show him saying that on September 11th, 1991, I think it is. Get it? September 11th, 9/11 again. Well, and he's a Jew? Yeah. Well, you see, Rockefeller... This Nelson Rockefeller used the term way before him. And the term was even used in papers in the late 1800s. And the term was a New World Order for the Jews. That's how far it goes back that I know of anyway. So, another change for Walt Disney was that, okay, I better read this first. When Disney returned, he submitted to the powers that were and accepted the unions and the mafia's control. See, the unions and the mafia. There's a control. there's a link between the unions and the mafia, but remember that the unions have always been linked up to the communists, you see, which are Jews. See, a Jew would own a company, and then he'd have another Jew run the union to play a Hegelian dialectic with the evil owner of the company and the good Jew in the... Hitler talks about this, and it's very easy to see that this is, again, the Jew playing people against people. Just like in CI, the pretense of these fake pastors that are fighting each other to destroy CI, you see, it's to destroy it. One's a good pastor, and the other one's an evil pastor. See? One's a Sephardic Jew, the other one's an Ashkenazi Jew. See? There's nothing. It's so easy to see how these Jews operate once you just understand it. It just becomes child's play, except it works. The reason why they keep doing it again and again is because it works and it works and it works and it works. And until people understand the modus operandi and understand the patterns of the enemy, they're going to be susceptible to these things over and over again. You see, history repeats itself because we don't get savvy to it. The history of CI needs to be researched by people that are in CI. And once you do that, you'll open up a whole can of worms. But you'll have the education. If you do not research it, you'll be susceptible to it being played, you being played over and over and over again. It's just that simple. You see, my whole thing that the Father has set me forth to do is to make you keep your eyes on Him, to encourage you to have a relationship with Him. I know I'm repeating this a little bit lately, but it's important. You got to keep your eyes on Him. You need not worship men or organizations. You need to worship the Father in heaven. He's the only one worth your worship. No man is worth your worship, and no organization is worth your worship. Until you realize this, every time an organization or a man falls, or you find out about them, you will be destroyed by it. You see, that's the storm. The Father will reveal truths that are not comfortable to you. The reason is because He's trying to show you so that you won't be fooled. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. My people perish, I should say, because they worship men and institutions instead of Me, meaning the Father, not me. When Peter was walking on the water and keeping his eyes on the Father in the flesh, who is Yeshua, Jesus, not the Jew, Jesus, he was fine walking along the water. He was fine. But when the storm around him raged, he became fearful. He took his eyes off the Father and fell in the water. O ye of little faith, you see, the lesson is very simple. We don't have to complicate it. Simply, my mission is to get you to keep your eyes on the Father, on the Word of the Father. The Word is Yeshua. It's the light of the world. It's the truth. It's prophecy. Prophecy is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, the word of Yahweh is the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by the word, the way, the truth, and the life. It's that simple. That's just how simple it is. If you'll keep your eyes on the word, if you'll keep the word inside your yourself, then nothing can shake you. Like I say, let the storm rage. Let the storm do what the storm does. Just let it go. I don't care. It can rage and blow and scream and jump, and the devil can jump and shout and scream about. I'm not interested. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Father. I'm not shaken. I will rather shake the devil's tree rather than let him shake mine. And this is what I'm trying to teach you. Number two, I'm trying to teach you, as we're seeing the connections here, to study to show thyself approved, which I've said on Saxon's Creed, I believe since the first show, I'm pretty sure. It's up to you to educate yourself. Nobody's going to do it for you. I will help you. The Father will help you. The Word will help you. But it's up to you to keep the oil in your lamp and keep your lamp trimmed. Let's continue. So, where is it here? Okay, another change for Walt Disney was that in 1940, he and Roy turned Disney into a public corporation and initially sold 755,000 shares of common stock. The Jewilluminati Boston firm of Kidder, Peabody and Company, Kidder, were the underwriters of the studio's public stock offerings. By 1940, the Disney studio at Burbank had become a miniature city with 1,000 men and women, employees, and 20 buildings on a 51. I don't know what that means, on a 51. Oh, he didn't continue the paragraph properly. He separated it. So let me continue it. 1,000 men and women, employees, and 20 buildings on a 51-acre tract of land. After the U.S. joined World War II, Disney productions were made part of the American military establishment. Did you just hear that? Let me read that again. After the U.S. joined World War II, Disney productions were made part of the American military establishment. So now we see that the mafia controls Disney. The mafia is now linked up with the American military, like I told you. And we know that the Council of Nine controls the mafia. And we know that the mafia is involved with the intelligence agencies and the Jews in every way, because the mafia is Jewish. What was that term back there? The mishpucha? Remember that now. You might want to look it up. The mishpucha. Notice how you never really, I don't even know if I ever heard that word before. You understand? That's how secretive it is. Disney, okay, let me see. The very next day, after they became part of the American military establishment, after Pearl Harbor, the very next day after Pearl Harbor, hello, the military moved on to the Disney studio, which leads this author to, which is Fritz Springmeier, to suspect that Disney was already part of the power establishment prior to the war breaking out. Disney made military movies, cartoons, that taught the different branches of the military many things. They made propaganda movies for the Allies. One series of films was Why We Fight, quote unquote. Disney made movies for the IRS to get people to pay their taxes. Some of the Disney films were top secret and concerned military secret military weapons or secret psychological tactics of the Americans. For instance, one military film was Army Psychotherapy, quote unquote, which taught Army men how to instill fear and about the basics of fear. Another Army film was Prostitution and the War. Another showed a carrier pigeon evading the Germans. In 1940, Disney came out with two full-length animated cartoons, Pinocchio and Fantasia, both of which were soon used for Juluminati mind control programming. There's another term I come out with, Juluminati. It has 9/11 right in it. Fantasia contains Schubert's sacred Catholic music Ave Maria, which was used in a concluding segment side by side with the profane Night on Bald Mountain song, as well as six other classical pieces of orchestra music. As a feature cartoon, it was a flop, but was a programming tool. As a programming tool, it was fantastic. Fantasia receives a comprehensive explanation of how it is used for mind control programming at the end of this chapter. Because an explanation of the use of a Disney film for mind control is complex, this explanation is placed at the end of the chapter so it won't interrupt with the flow of this chapter's information. The Pinocchio film has been redone and released how many times over the years, would you say? 9 times. That's how many times. Some of the next full-length animated films to come out were The Three Caballeros, 1945, which has 9 in it twice, 18, 666. The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad in 1949, 9 and 4 is 13. Ichabod means to be away from God. Let's just look up the word Ichabod just for the sake of, so I can clarify it further. Okay, what does the term Ichabod mean? Okay, let's see here. Used to express regret for departed glory. Departed glory. See? A refreshingly cheerful note in the thundering chorus of whose burden is Ichabod. I know it means there's an actual definition of this where it means to be away from God, because people use that name, you know, departed from glory means away from the Father. You know what I mean? Expressing regret at a loss of former glory or high standards. Now, I think if you looked at Ichabod in an older dictionary, you would really find out what it means. Let's see what it says right here real quick. Ichabod is named by the books of Samuel as the brother of Achitub. Ichabod is also identified by the books of Samuel as having been the son of Phinehas and as having been born on the day that the ark was taken into Philistine captivity. His mother went into labor due to the shock of hearing that her husband and father-in-law had died and the ark had been captured. The identity and name of his mother is not given, and she is said to have died shortly after giving birth to him and having named him. In the book of 1 Samuel, his name is said to be a reference to the glory has departed from Israel because of the loss of the ark to the Philistines, or Steins. And and a lesser reference to the deaths of her father-in-law, Eli, and her husband, Phinehas. She repeats the phrase, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured, to show her piety and that the public and spiritual loss lay heavier upon her spirit than her personal domestic calamity. So in other words, the glory has departed from Israel is what Ichabod means. And now you know it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we do. And this is why we do what we do. So, let me get back to this article now. So the name of it was The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. Why pick that name of all names? Cinderella, 1950. Now, I had told you that Cinderella represents Israel, and the rest of the sisters are witches and pagans and everything else, right? And they're ugly compared to Israel. just like the women of the world are nothing compared to the Israelite women. I'm not talking about Jewish women, folks. Treasure Island, 1950. Alice in Wonderland, 1951. The Story of Robin Hood and His Merry Men, 1952. And Peter Pan, 1953. Pan is the devil. And Robin Hood and His Merry Men, it is my suggestion that this story was the early precursor to communism and the ends justify the means. You see, Robin Hood stole from the rich and gave to the poor. Robin Hood. Robbing Hood. Criminal. So he's a criminal that takes from the rich and gives to the poor, but it's okay that he's a criminal and it's okay that he steals because what he does with the money is very justifiable. So the ends justify the means. And after all, who could find anyone at fault who has merry men about him? Just like our dear merry man at EFR, the merry man who says that he doesn't even know that I have all sorts of clips of him laughing at evil things right from his shows. And he keeps running his mouth pretending that, oh, he's, you know, it's incredible. It really is. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, 1954. There's two nines in that again. Sleeping Beauty, 1959. Very soon after the production of all these movies, the Jewilluminati and their intelligence agencies used them for Jewilluminati total mind control programming. To see their misuse of programming scripts, one has to understand how the fantasy worlds of a programmed multiple are created and how the movie scripts are adapted to be programming scripts. Volume 2 gave quite a few examples of how Alice in Wonderland and the Wizard of Oz scripts were used for programming scripts. When Disney had his animal nature documentaries, he edited and used narration to give the animals human-like characteristics, something he'd already been doing with animation. Disney played an important part in the Jewilluminati's plan to elevate animals and dehumanize humans. What, that's called equality, ladies and gentlemen. The fable of quality, equality, which is one of the fables of the Jews. They first gave it out through the protocols of the learned elders of Zion and transferred it to the Masons, who touted the triunional term of equality, fraternity, and liberty. All false things, not the real liberty. The equality is a lie. And the brotherhood, they were saying that all of us are brothers, but we're not. So, let's see here. One of the biggest Jewilluminati kingpins, the leader, Grand Master of the Prière de Zion, was Frenchman Claude Debussy, 1862, born in 1862. Claude Debussy, a Merovingian, was a Nautinier, navigator helmsman of the Prière de Zion in 1885 to 1918. See the document Dossier of Secrets, Planche number 4, Order de Zion, written about in Holy Blood and Holy Grail. In 1891, when some secret coded parchments, Merovingian documents, were found by a French clergyman, Saunier, he was directed by church officials to visit with Emile Hoffet, or Hoffet, an occult acquaintance of Debussy. This isn't Gary Busey, this is Debussy. He's been debussified. Debussy was close friends with many of the top French occultists of his time. He is known to have been a close friend to both the notorious Satanists like Jules Bois and MacGregor Mathers. Mathers started the Order of the Golden Dawn. Debussy was also a friend of the infamous Papus, a.k.a. Dr. Gerard Encausse. That's E-N-C-A-U-S-S-E. And W.B. Yeats. I believe he's a Freemason, yes. Papus was one of the men who, during his lifetime, was part of the interlocking occult directorate of occult groups. Claude Debussy put on some of the works of the previous PDS Grand Master Victor Hugo to music. Debussy and his other powerful occult friends were influential with Monsieur Philippe, whose Russian occult circle influenced the Russian czars and czarinas before Rasputin came around. I never heard the term czarinas. So that's the female czars, the czarinas, the females. Debussy traveled to Russia and Rome. Some of Debussy's works became operas. Interestingly, Walt Disney was extremely anxious to make a cartoon using Debussy's Claire de Lane. Claire de Lane. The work was done, but it was never shown to the public. Disney never found a place to use it. It was originally done with animation, with flying cranes for the occult extravaganza Fantasia, but when the Fantasia ended up too long, Claire de Lane was cut and shelved. It was again planned for the film Make Mine Music. Then Blue Bayou was substituted in. Walt used the Le Sacre du Printemps, the Rite of Spring. The Rite of Spring. You get it? R-I-T-E? My goodness. He used that music for Fantasia. This piece of music was written as a pagan ritual where a virgin sacrifices herself by dancing to death. I told you the world is obsessed with death. Disney's mobster Gunther Lessing had threatened Stravinsky if permission weren't given for Disney to use the piece of music, it would be used anyway. Dr. Julian Huxley got involved in the production of Fantasia. Aldous and, you've heard of Aldous Huxley, right? And Julian Huxley are well known by conspiracy researchers for their roles in the Jew World Order. In the 1940s and 50s, the Jew Illuminati began using Disney's Alice in Wonderland and the Wizard of Oz films as programming bases for their total mind-controlled slaves. Alice in Wonderland had been done many years earlier by Britisher William Cameron Menzies, who also did Freemason H.G. Wells' Masonic forecast of the Jew World Order entitled Things to Come in 1936, and the film Invaders from Mars. Well, in 1944, Jew Illuminati kingpin William Randolph Hearst, William Randolph Hearst is the one who brought the Jew and financed the Jew, Billy Graham, into stardom, so to speak. The Jew, Billy Graham, who was a Christian preacher, a supposed Christian preacher, you see. Well, you know, as always, I love to give you this advice. Don't go down the wrong hole.
They bring disgrace. A man without a face. The sands of time. just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste, all the lines that they told erased. A man without a face, a man without a face, a man without a face, a man without a face.